You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Are you ready for the Word of God?
Amen.
Well, the title of my message is The Shift. What is a shift? The shift is when God brings a supernatural shift. So a shift is to move from one place to another, especially over a small distance. A shift in your life is where God can move you supernaturally from where you are. Maybe in your thinking, maybe in your heart, maybe physically, God can move you supernaturally from one place to another. Now, as you can see here, I thought I would bring a part of my home so you could see what living at the Eden household is really like. And so I have a food pantry at home. It's a beautiful food pantry. Everything's the same color. Everything's lined up. And all these containers in my food pantry at home, they're filled with food, and I like to organize them and maybe slightly categorize a couple of little things. And no, I'm not OCD, so don't even think it. I just like order. Who likes order today? Just a little bit of order. You know, it might not last, but if I can just have like maybe 10 minutes where there's some order, I'm a happy camper. So as you know, I live with four other people, and they don't really feel the same way about order that I do. In fact, they actually love chaos. And so, you know, when they go to grab food, you know, they pull it out and they get what they want and they're happy. And you know, they've got their chips and they've got their bars. And suddenly, my order has gone. It's vanished. And I'm all the time saying, hey, boys, can you just, you know, it's not hard. You just got to take even a finger and just push it back into line. And it's a concept that seems to be so hard and challenging. And so I would say to them constantly, can you please push it back in? Can you please push it back in? But it kept falling on deaf ears. And so, you know, sometimes when things don't go according to plan, you know, we get a little bit frustrated and maybe a little bit shouty and a bit angry. And you see, I thought that the shift needed to take place in my children. And I thought that the shift needed to take place in my husband. But God spoke to me and said, Naomi, the shift needs to happen in you. Stop worrying about them pushing your drawers back in so neatly to fit what you need to happen and to meet your expectation, because actually in this moment I'm trying to put a shift in you. What I want you to do is shift the way that you're always going on about it to them. Really, Lord? Are you saying this to me? They're the problem. And what I want you to do is I want you to give grace to your family. I just want you to push it in. You know, I've never been frustrated since. I've never been angry since. I just push them in and say, thank you, Jesus, for speaking to me that day. Do you know I do? That's the truth. A shift moves you from one place to another. A supernatural shift that God wants to do in your life is not always the shift that you're thinking it was going to be. Sometimes it's not about others. Sometimes it's about what God wants to do in you. Amen. What if I said to you this morning that God can cause a supernatural shift in your life where your circumstances may remain the same, but He changes you so supernaturally that out of your circumstances you can rejoice in the Lord and you can continue to rejoice? Paul said, for I know God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. What has happened to me, it will turn out for my deliverance. Today we can know with confidence that God will supernaturally shift what is weighing on your heart, and it will, the Bible says, turn out for your deliverance. I love what Paul says in the book of Philippians. Can you turn with me now to Philippians chapter 1 or read from the screen? It says in verse 18, but what does it matter, Paul says? What does it matter? The important thing is, in every way, whether from false motives or true, the most important thing is that Christ is preached. And because of this, Paul says, I can rejoice. That's what matters to Paul. Paul was writing these words from a jail cell, in prison for praying for a girl in the marketplace. She was so attacked by the enemy. She was being abused. She was taken advantage of. And when Paul stepped out and saw her condition, he prayed for her and he released the power of Christ into her life. He delivered her through Jesus. Her life was supernaturally shifted. And in that moment, she was set free by Christ. But her owners, angry, disgruntled, mad, had Paul thrown in jail. And Paul says, but what does it matter? But what does it matter if I'm in jail? Christ was preached and this girl who was bound is now free and released. She was set free, and because of this, Paul says, I can rejoice. And he says, and furthermore, I will continue to rejoice. That's what matters to Paul. What matters to you? This morning, whether you're watching online, whether you're sitting here, you've come in with things on your mind and things on your heart. What matters to you this morning? Because what matters to you will determine what is important and what decisions you will make. Decisions have outcomes that will shift you from one place to another, and those outcomes will be experienced, and not just you, as a result of your decisions, so with the people around you. For Paul, what mattered to him is that the truth and grace of Jesus was being heard and seen, and when we experience the life Jesus died to give us, we can rejoice. What matters to you, in your marriage, in your family, in your relationships, in your heart, in your mind, as a woman, as a mom, what matters to you this morning? Philippians 1:9, I love Paul, he said, and I pray this, that your love may abound even more and more in knowledge and in every kind of insight, Paul's saying, that you need to see. If my marriage matters to me, if my family matters to me, I want the insight that comes from Jesus alone. Amen? He goes on to say in Philippians 1:10, so that you may surely learn to sense what is vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value in your life. And that you may be untainted. You know what that means? Not affected or polluted by the issue that is coming on your heart and your mind. That you may be untainted, pure and unerring and blameless. So that with your heart sincere and certain and unsullied, you may approach the day of Christ not stumbling, nor causing those around you to stumble. You know, God wants us to receive His supernatural shift today, that we may learn to sense what is vital, what really matters, and what is of real value. That your heart may be certain and not stumbling, not causing those around you to stumble by the decisions that you make. And because of this, Paul says, we can rejoice. If your joy, your happiness this day is being attacked, God's supernatural shift of joy is for us today. You might ask me, Pastor, how can we receive it? How can we receive to be able to rejoice? When Paul came to Philippi with the boys, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, they came to Philippi and they were expecting to find a church. They were expecting to find a place of prayer, but there was no church yet in Philippi. But what they did find was some women sitting by the river praying. And this was not an accident that Paul was meeting with these women by the river. One of those praying was a woman named Lydia, and she was an incredible worshiper of God. And in Acts 16:14, it says, Lydia, a God-fearing woman, she listened to us. When I spoke these words, her ears were open, leaning in to hear what it was that I was saying. And it says the Lord opened up her heart to respond to what Paul was saying. And it was as Paul was speaking the truth, Lydia was listening. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. What was his message? Christ. Lydia saw the truth of Jesus Christ and she wanted it. Lydia had been prepared for a supernatural shift to happen in her life. And as she listened, the Lord opened her heart to receive what Paul's words meant. She could understand it clearly. And God has already made provision for you. He is the one who will open your heart to receive this supernatural shift, to receive his freedom, his healing, and his insight. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you today. He is the one who opens your heart wide to receive what the Spirit of God is speaking into your heart and mind. He is the one who will cause you to rejoice. And Jesus shifted her to the river to pray and to worship. God shifted her heart to hear about Jesus. And as Lydia placed her trust in Jesus, she experienced his salvation. And there was so much joy released into the heart and the life of Lydia that as a result of it, her whole family was saved, came to know Jesus Christ, and on the same day, her and her whole family were baptized in that same river. Supernatural shift. Because Jesus Christ was preached. And Paul says these words, Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God working for the salvation of everyone who believes. And Lydia now had a personal trust, a confident surrender, a firm reliance on Jesus Christ, because Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. You know, this is an incredible moment in the spiritual for Paul, the disciples, for Lydia, for family. What a day to rejoice. Amazing circumstances. And you might say, well, that's great when the conditions are right. I can rejoice when the conditions are right. But when the conditions are messed up, do I keep rejoicing? Amazing circumstances for Paul. But what about when circumstances are not favorable? This is Romans, the future where Paul is talking from. But let's go back to Philippians 1 and Paul's in jail. When he looks down, his feet are chained. When he looks around, he sees a jail cell, prison for something he didn't do, out of his control. Looks to the left, his hands are chained to the wall. How does a supernatural shift occur in containment when it's out of our control and in the natural? Paul doesn't know what is going to happen to him, but then he makes this supernatural shift in his speech, mind, and heart to what really matters to him. And as a result of speaking about Jesus, he starts to rejoice. And the Bible goes on to say, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. He's in jail and still declaring, yes, I will continue to rejoice. Which opens a whole new doorway of hope. The door in the natural may be closed, my friends, but it can be opened in the spiritual. How do you open it? Speaking the words of Jesus. It leads to the door of his hope for your life. Hosea 2:15 says, in the valley of trouble, he is my door of hope. Let the Holy Spirit open your heart right now. In the valley of trouble, he is your door of hope. That situation of containment that you may be feeling in the valley of trouble, he is your doorway of hope out of that valley. Paul speaks about this doorway of hope and still speaks to us today. There's a shift that takes place and he's moving forward. And I want us to look at these 10 verses through Philippians and see what that doorway of hope looks like and what Paul says we can be confident in today. Paul is starving the trouble and feeding his walk of hope. Sometimes as Christians, we need to starve the trouble and we need to feed the walk of hope that opens to his doorway. We need to starve the trouble, feed our hope by his words of what he has done, what he's done for you and me. So let's look at these 10 promises we can feed our lives with. We're going to start feeding on his word today. Philippians 1:18, Paul says, but what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or truth, the important thing is Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will, this is the 10 I wills, I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me, this will turn out for our deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Verse 22, if I am to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, Paul says, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that you, that through my being with you again, your boasting, Christ Jesus, will abound on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Do you hear that this morning? You do not have to fear for those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. Paul doesn't speak from his valley of trouble. He speaks from the door of hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ that has been made known to him. Paul said he lived in a state of eager expectation regarding his future. He's in jail, people, and he's in a state of eager expectation for what the Lord is going to do in his life. There's such a supernatural shift in his spirit. In this moment, he is feeling such joy. He's walking through the doorway of hope, and there is such joy that is abounding in his spirit, and he's trying to think of a word in the English language that can sum up this joy that he's experiencing in his heart, in his spirit. But as he searches through the Greek language, there's nothing that he can find to fit this feeling. So he makes up a word, apo, kara, dokia. And what it means is that it's eager expectation. Paul's saying there's such intense desire. I'm eagerly expecting God to move me out of these chains and to set me free out of this jail. But why I'm here, I'm going to preach Jesus. And so there's such a hope in my heart. I'm looking for Jesus to set me free. I'm looking for Jesus to move in this jail cell. And because of this joy, he creates this word, apo, kara, dokia, because he's describing the intense expectation he has on Jesus Christ, even though he's in containment. Paul was saying, I eagerly expect Jesus to deliver me. Do you eagerly expect Jesus to deliver you? What matters to you and your family? What matters to you and your relationships in your marriage? Are you eagerly expecting God to deliver you? Because Paul says there's a promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is a promise that has been given to you. Will you receive the supernatural shift so you can lay a hold of the promise that Paul is talking about? Apo, kara, dokia, I'm in earnest expectation for God to deliver me out of my situation. You know, apo means to turn away. You know, even though I'm in a jail cell, I'm going to turn my focus away from my containment. And Jesus, my eyes and my body is reaching forward towards you because you are my only deliverer in my containment. You are the only one that can remove the darkness by bringing in the light. You are the only one that can set me free. Where there is confusion, you come with truth. Where there is mourning, you come with dancing. I'm going to turn my head away from the containment. And I'm going to fix my gaze and my body and my focus upon you. Kara means I'm going to turn away, but I'm going to turn away with my whole head. I'm going to look at you, Jesus. I'm going to be enveloped in your presence, Jesus. Even though my arms and my feet are in chains, even though I'm in a prison cell, God, I'm in earnest expectation. My head is towards you. I see only your hope. I refuse to look at containment. I refuse for the darkness to speak to me because I have the authority of Jesus Christ. Church, do you realize today you have the authority that came when Jesus rose from the dead? Resurrection power is yours. Darkness must flee. It's just a matter of time. Amen? The devil's not going to win. He's already defeated. Dokia means thinking properly, knowing what is vital, sensing what the Holy Spirit wants to do, thinking forward to where Christ wants your mind, your emotions to be in this moment of containment. Literally, with my head outstretched, Paul says, with eager, intense expectation, I am attentive, waiting expectantly until my deliverance is attained. Deliverance has already been given through the cross. You're waiting to attain what God has already done. We live and we rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, this is the first time this word has been used as Paul creates this word to describe the intensity and the awe he is experiencing, the hope you need to have when there seems no way of getting out of this valley of intense trouble. Trouble that is serious and extreme, hope beyond what the natural knows. And to experience a supernatural shift in your valley of trouble through the door of his hope, we need to turn away with concentration, ignoring other entrants, and stretch forward with hope into the future that God has set his plan and purpose for every single one of us and the church of Jesus Christ. This is the kind of hope that brings, that supernaturally shifts the culture of this world and restores what God has created. Amen? The type of hope that supernaturally shifts anguish from a marriage and restores what God created marriage to be. The type of hope that shifts finances, hope that shifts mental health. When I stretch my head forward, my expectation is an earnest longing to see Jesus. My eyes are on the Lord when I don't know what to do. My eyes, come on, Savior. Come on, Restorer. My eyes are on you. When I don't know what to do, you do. Philippians 3:13. No, dear brothers and sisters, Paul says, I have not achieved this yet. I have not achieved this, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Philippians 3:15, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make it clear to you. You're going to have different thoughts in containment all the time. When the enemy attacks your family and tries to steal and destroy what God has given you, you're going to want to think differently. But the Bible is saying God will make it clear to you. What matters to him will matter to you. Today, are you asking God to make it clear to you? Because the trouble is so intense, are you finding it hard to see Jesus clearly? You might say to me, Pastor Naomi, this is great for Paul. It's Paul. This is Paul. He was preaching the gospel all the time, and he can see the words of Jesus so clearly, but the containment is so great. The chains are so heavy. The length of time has been so great. And even though God has spoken into my spirit what I can walk in, all I see is containment. I want to see Jesus' words clearly, but I'm having a little bit of trouble in my valley at the moment. Can you show me how to get to my doorway of hope? Are you having trouble seeing clearly? Come on, we're all there. We have our times where it's hard to get out of the valley of trouble, but God is saying through Paul, there is a doorway of hope, and it comes through seeing Jesus Christ preached into your life. You know, there was a blind man in Mark chapter 8. He was having difficulty seeing. In fact, from birth, he was born blind. It said when Jesus arrived in Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to him and they begged him, Jesus, would you touch the man? If you just touch the man, we know that you'll restore his sight. So Jesus took the blind man by the hand and he led him out of the village. Then spitting on the man's eyes, he laid hands on him and asked, can you see anything now? And the blind man looked around and he said, yeah, I can kind of see. It's kind of like I see people, but I can't see them clearly. They look blurry, like trees walking around. And you see in this moment where things are blurry, it's like he was blind and things are a little bit better, but he still can't see clearly. That full shift of restoration's happened. And some of us, we're at this halfway point where it's going to be so easy just to walk away because it's not really working and it's blurry and I can't see clearly. And Jesus, I thought you were going to shift the situation, but I'm still really in the same place. And like this blind man who can now see things kind of, he's in this halfway point. What do you do when you're at the halfway point when the containment is shouting louder than the healing in your life? There's a shift happening. It wasn't fully restored yet, but he's focused on Jesus. Can I ask you today, if you're at the halfway point and things are still not clear, can I ask you to focus on what really matters, Jesus? Lay every other distraction aside. Be searching for the words of Jesus. For the blind man, what was blindness had shifted to objects being blurry, and it was at this halfway point he had to press in, he had to hold on, and he had to trust Jesus, and nothing of this world could conform him. He had to ignore the confusion, the doubt, the apprehension. This is not working. Why reveal part, then leave me confused, because the problem, the trouble, the valley is not solved yet. But he stayed. He focused. He pressed in. He kept his eyes on Jesus. He kept his body lunging towards Jesus in earnest expectation, for Jesus could be the only one that could turn his blindness into sight. So he stayed with the one. He focused on his words, fixed his sight on his face, and didn't leave the presence of Jesus. So as Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, his eyes were open, his sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly, even what was at a distance. This is what Paul is speaking to us today. In your situation, the most important thing is Christ preached. Let Jesus preach to you in your containment and make a way where there seems no way. Because I stay in his presence, earnestly seeking Christ because of Jesus, I will continue to rejoice. This will turn out for my deliverance. I will in no way be ashamed. I will have sufficient courage. Christ will be exalted in my body. This will mean fruitful labor for me. I will remain. I will continue. Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. I will stand firm in the one spirit. My family, my friends, my city will be saved, and that by God. Amen. Can we stand in this place today? You know, the greatest shift that ever took place in human history is where God sent his son Jesus Christ to this earth to die for all humanity, that none should perish, but that all could have everlasting life. God made a way through Jesus that would shift us from earth to a Savior in heaven. And if you say to me this day, I don't know who Jesus is. You may be watching online for the first time. Can I say that having a relationship with Jesus Christ is one of the most awesome experiences and life journey. It will be the greatest shift that you ever make in your life. Jesus loves you this morning. And he says in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, my friends today, it's as easy as that. Jesus said you will be saved if you believe in your heart. Jesus, you are Lord. God, you raised him from the dead. Just like that, the Bible says you will be saved, never to walk this journey alone, to have a Savior and a Restorer all the days of your life. And if you say to me, I want to have a relationship with Jesus, I want to seek Jesus and find what he's all about. And with every eye closed and every head bowed this morning, if you say to me, I want to have a relationship with Jesus, I want to pray with you this morning. And as a church, we're all going to pray this prayer together. But if you're saying to me, Naomi, I want to pray this prayer for the first time, or I feel like I'm so far away from God in my valley of trouble, I need to receive Jesus this morning so he can show me that door of hope that I've longed to see, that I've longed to dwell in. Well, I'm going to pray for you this morning. And if that's you in this place, can you raise your hand and say, Naomi, pray that prayer with me this morning. I'm going to pray that prayer. If you're watching online, I want you to raise your hands this morning because we're going to pray this together as a church in this place. Dear Jesus, I declare that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And today, Jesus, I am saved by you. Amen. Father, I pray for every person that has made that decision for the first time this morning. Father, you have taken them out of their valley of trouble and you have brought them to a doorway of hope of your salvation, to never be alone without a Father, a Savior, a Restorer again. From this day forward, you will walk with them all the days of their life. What will follow them? Goodness and mercy, because that's who you are, Jesus. So we pray for every person that has made this decision. In Jesus' name, amen. If you've made this decision for the first time, we don't want to leave you in that space. We want to give you a Bible. We want to be able to walk this journey along with you. You've got questions. We want to be able to answer them for you. So you can go to gc.org.au/first steps and we're going to walk this journey with you. Amen.